He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, here we go, folks. Wednesday. Ready to spend some time with you guys, ready to get into several different stories, have all sorts of fun. We're just going to have a good time today, right? Because it's hump day. At least we're going to have fun for now. Then I've got to get back to other work. Have some phone calls, do some other interviews for people. It's not your problem. It's mine. But we're glad to be with you. Disco, how are you doing today, my friend?
Doing well. Just it's 55 degrees here today and rainy. So I was like, should we start a fire? We had like 100-degree weather and it just 50 degrees drops.
We're not dealing with that here. It's hot as balls here in Florida. But it's been great. It's been great. Lots of fiery chatting already going on in the community across the different platforms. We're glad that you're here. And let's dive in and be careful with this one. And with question of the day, that is. Be careful with your response. And some of you are going to say, I don't go to the movies anymore. Okay, well, remember when you did go to the movies. Okay, play along. Have some fun here. The question is this, though. What is the best movie candy?
I think this is going to start like a war.
A war. It could start World War III. This could be the beginning. Xi Jinping. No. It all came down to an argument over Milk Duds and Sour Patch Kids. Not popcorn. We're talking specifically candy. What is your response? Today's episode is brought to you, by Mammoth Nation. They are America's conservative discount marketplace. Over 300 vendors and growing, guys. We have done the legwork for you over there. They are vetted companies, pro-America companies who love this country. And the best part is you save on products that you're already buying. So head on over. You can become a lifetime member by going to mammothnation.com. Use promo code Drew to save 30%. Proceeds are used to fight back against the radical left. It's a win-win-win for everyone. Head on over there, mammothnation.com. Again, use promo code Drew. All right, let's get to those responses. I'm dying to see what people are saying. Kasim comes right in with Milk Duds. That's a tough one to beat. Tough on your jaw, too. But you can kind of see it as like you're burning calories. You're working out as you're watching the movie. Okay, Becht. Snow caps from Debbie. How do you say it? It's not non-perials? Is that a misspelling or is that right?
I'm trying. Which
from Becht?
Where is it? Yeah, I mean those are essentially like the snow caps, but that's the okay. Right way to. I believe that's the right way to spell it. Yeah,
those are delicious.
I don't know how to say it because every time I try to say it, I'm like perials.
Yeah,
aerials. Yeah. I'm getting those, the chocolate with the white sprinkles.
Just give me that box right there. Give it to me now. Sorry. By the way, I'm bad. I've gotten better. But I still recall this moment. I'm going to the theater. You know how they offer you, like, do you want to get the next size up or do you want to get this cup for 25
cents? For only
cents
75
more?
Cents more, you can get the half gallon. Okay.
So I walk up to this person and they're behind the counter, and I don't know, this is a ways back, and I go to order, and I'm getting like I don't drink soda anymore, but it's like I'm having a Sprite because my stomach's all screwed up today, but typically I do not drink soda, and I'm going up to order a Diet Coke and popcorn or whatever else I'm getting, and I'm like, hey, can I get a large Diet Coke? And I'm like, well, are you interested in hearing about the deal, or are you interested in buying the deal? I'm like, yep, I'll take it. I had no idea what I was getting.
They got you.
He's like, I did. Okay, yeah, this is great. Ring the bell. I got another deal. This idiot just said yes to the deal without even hearing what it was.
Here's your steak knife that you ordered, and the mace will get after the
exactly. The pop up tent comes later with Cinemark branding on it. Okay, so we go. Back on point here. Snow caps. Another Milk Duds from Calm Grandma. Red Vines. Some other nefarious conversation going on. Perels is how you say it, according to Calm Grandma. And I trust Calm Grandma. Favorite movie candy? Anyone involving Tulsi? Electric Boots is just randy today. Just ready to go. I love it.
Go.
I think Milk Duds is really hard to beat here, but here's why I think I'm going a different direction. I love Milk Duds. I love popcorn. I love all that stuff. I love pretty much, if I'm being honest, almost everything in that display case.
Yeah.
But I really, and this is the perfect candy for me, because even though I'm in my 40s, I feel like I'm a kid. I think most people think I still am a kid, my wife included. And I like Sour Patch Kids. I think they're really damn good. And they're not hard to chew. They give you some heartburn. But you know what? So does the popcorn. So does everything else in the theater.
Yeah. No, Sour Patch Kids for the win. It depends. Like, if I'm going, it depends. Am I in a fruity, sugary mood, or am I in a chocolate mood? If I'm in a chocolate mood, I go like Snow Caps or something like that.
Right.
Milk Duds, whatever. But then if not, it's usually Sour Patch Kids. And then if I want to get real nostalgia, I get Reese's Pieces, you know, thinking of like E.T., you know.
Preach
just
it. Mm.
Yeah.
This is a weird episode. All right. And then
they just talked about candy for the rest of the show.
There was grunting. There was groaning. There was all sorts of stuff. All right, let's get into some news. Let's get into the actual show. That's why you guys are here, I think. So KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, was on the podium this week, and she had a little slip when she said this.
I mean, the president has been very clear in making sure that he does everything that he can to alleviate the pain that American families are feeling when it comes to gas prices.
No, I think elevate is the right word that you were looking for there, because that's what's happening. Again, all these problems, very solvable. And look, was that just a slip of the tongue, a word that's close enough? Sure, fine. I'm sure it was. But the reality of the situation is that is what's happening. That's what's going on in this country. Hey, Judy, good to see you. You missed the candy debate. But that's what's going on, right? I mean, that's way more of an appropriate term for the White House and their policies right now. They're elevating the pain and the problems that come along for everyday Americans. So we had to show you. Great job, KJP. Good job telling the truth. All right, and then I think we've got two Biden clips here. I want to show both of them. They're unrelated, really, in terms of at least my commentary on it. But this first one, let's just watch this first one, and then I'll tell you why I showed it.
We're honored to visit your clinic today. We met with your fellow nurses and staff who are stepping up each and every day. And we met with families of young children, and there were about, I guess, 17, 18 families there waiting for their vaccine shots or have just gotten their vaccine shots.
Vaccine. So that's not why I'm showing the video, although he does stumble over the words there at the end. But if you rewind on that one, Disco, and go back to the very beginning frame, that's why I bring it up. That's what I'm kind of talking about here, is it shows Joe Biden. Yeah, that right there. Shows Joe Biden holding a baby. Someone else's baby, of course. And look, we know that Joe loves kids, and not in an appropriate way, as we've seen and discussed. But that's not why I bring it up either. The thing that caught my eye when I saw this yesterday is who in their right mind at this point in time, knowing how feeble and frail the guy is. This is a guy who fell off his bike the other day. This is a guy who cannot read a teleprompter, who does not know what his handlers are trying to get him to say to the American people. A guy who walks so painfully slow because of his failing condition. Who in their right mind puts their baby in that joker's hands? And not just him, anyone in that position. It's not because he's Joe Biden and he's a creep. I'm talking purely here about his age. Don't you have some concerns with that?
100%.
I mean,
I mean, like, let's put it this way. If you're
Your disco's frozen. Damn, oh, no. New Mexico. But here's what I'm saying. And I know Disco is about to agree with me. One, because he has to if he wants to keep his job. But two, because he's a parent and he knows that you don't want to do that. But I mean, you don't if you deployed in the military ever, you worked in the military, worked in government, you know, you don't shake your baby, you don't drop your baby. There's commercials about it. And if you're just an everyday normal person, you also know that's correct. But you don't put your baby in this failing dude's hands because he's going to get dropped and he's going to end up like Hunter Biden. That's what's at stake. But
can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Oh, hey, I'm back. What I was saying is you wouldn't give your infant to like your grandfather or father who's showing these signs of, you know, how you know he trips, you know, dementia, all that stuff. You wouldn't do that. You're like, no. Here you could hold him, but I'm gonna hold him too. You know, like because something's gonna happen.
Sit down trick. Like, hey, once you sit down on the couch, I'll put him in your lap, so neither of you can get hurt. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's whatever. Anyways, no one was really talking about that. I just caught my eye. I was like, wait a minute, time out. Can we just discuss this for a quick second? But the biggest reason Joe was in the news yesterday was this comment right here.
I know you're looking for more money from Congress for this vaccine campaign and for COVID funding going into the fall. How much of the supply of vaccines for these small children is there, and how many of the nation's kids will you be able to get vaccinated before you need more money from Congress?
Well, we'll get through at least this year. We do need more money. But we don't just need more money for vaccines for children eventually. We need more money to plan for the second pandemic. There's going to be another pandemic. We have to think ahead. And that's not something the last outfit did very well. That's something we've been doing for fairly well. That's why we need the money.
Okay. So another pandemic. We've heard them say such things, and you know that it is coming. But we've got another pandemic coming. We need money. Exactly, Debbie. Plandemic. This is the world we live in now. Because they saw it work once. So why wouldn't it work again? Why wouldn't it work again? Why wouldn't they use it again? They will. The answer is they will. Because they know that half the population will go along with whatever they say. There will be resistance, for sure. Probably from a lot of people in this audience. But they will have plenty of willing participants in this nonsense. And he's bringing that up. And he's bringing it up on the heels, by the way. They now have vaccines for kids as young as 6 months old. A vaccine that's had atrocious reports associated with it. More deaths than any vaccine combined between now and 1997. And for a virus that you didn't really need it for. And if you got it, that's fine. Again, I don't care. You do you. You get what you want. But we don't need to be giving it to our six-month-olds or our six-year-olds or our 18-year-olds. We just don't. But as big of an issue as that is, the bigger thing is Joe saying the quiet part out loud. Another pandemic's coming. Yay. Can't wait. It's going to be amazing. All right, everyone smash that like button, whichever platform you're on. We're glad to be with you today. Thanks for taking the time to watch the show, engage on the show. Please do continue to engage. Please make sure that you are subscribed on that platform. If you're on YouTube, make sure you're still subscribed because they like to unsubscribe you without you knowing and without you choosing to do so. If you chose to unsubscribe, you wouldn't be here because you don't like me and you've left. But a lot of you, that's not the case. So please make sure that you're doing all those things. Hit that bell icon over there to make sure you're getting notified, even though they still likely will not notify you. So let's get to the gun deal here. The GOP once again proved they cannot be trusted. A lot of individuals, I should say, in the GOP. And the RINOs in particular came out in force to make sure that your Second Amendment rights keep getting eroded, which they did. They are. And I'm not sure why these particular 14, and I'll list them here in a little bit, these 14 senators are still in the Republican Party because their ideals are way more in line with the Communist Party on the left. Here's what they gave into, okay? This bill would provide $750 million to the 19 states as well as the District of Columbia. So call it 20 territories that have red flag laws in existence, making it easier to temporarily take firearms from people adjudged dangerous and to other states with violence prevention programs. So it doubles down on red flag laws, which are a nightmare. A nightmare. And then what are these violence protection programs? Well, it's nothing. It's basically nothing. It's verbiage in the bill to allow for crazy unchecked spending. Free money for the states. Not a dime of it's going to make its way towards a program or any kind of deal that's going to actually protect anyone. So once again, everything about these rhinos is being shown, these establishment types being shown to the American people, to their constituents, right in front of us. And they're demonstrating that they're pathetic individuals who are willing to throw our money at things that we don't want to put money towards. Curbing the Second Amendment? No. Ukraine? No. States with red flag laws that receive the funds would have to have a legal process for gun owners to fight for the firearms removal. So it's nice to see that there's bipartisan agreement, essentially, with what they're discussing here, what they've discussed and voted on this week, that the Fourth and Fifth Amendments no longer matter. That's basically what this bill says. You're guilty until you can prove your innocence. And guess what? Do you think little Joe or little Jill down the block, who's called crazy by one of their enemies because they don't like them, they don't like their politics, do you think they can stand up to the big bad U.S. government? The government's got way more money. Uncle Sam's got way more money. And they're prepared to outspend you to make sure you never get your guns back. That's one thing we're facing. The legislation would toughen background checks for the youngest firearms buyers, require more sellers to conduct background checks, and beef up penalties on gun traffickers. It also would disperse money to states and communities to improve school safety and mental health initiatives, or so they say. But here's the question. What would any of these things that they're discussing or talking about, voting on, what would any of them do to stop a true mass shooting? And as a side point here, keep in mind that the news, the media, they love the term mass shooting. The problem is it's changed like everything else. The term hero has changed. The term this is, you know, all of it's changed. Racism has changed. They've skewed every word and everything out there. And it's a moving target for what a mass shooting is. Columbine, Parkland, Pulse nightclub, what happened in Uvalde. Obviously, those are all mass shootings. But they will throw in so... That's why when you hear people talking, there's been 700 million mass shootings since last year. No, there hasn't. No. There's been some awful incidents. There's been violence, which is going to happen because we have a bunch of broken humans walking around the planet. But thankfully, these are pretty rare. But back to the legislation, they're all acting emotionally. None of these measures that are in the bill would have done anything to prevent it, Buffalo or Uvalde, or any other similar shooting. But when you've got the drumbeat of, you know, this, we have to do something. Something has to be done. And that starts blaring, by the way, right after a shooting, right after one of these events. And then you get emotional policies that are just...
How's it going to stop the guy who ran his car to that parade?
Right. It's not.
He still killed a lot of people and injured a lot of people.
Yeah.
Didn't use a weapon. Used a car. Again, yeah. It's a people problem.
A people problem. And that car, by the way, is an assault weapon, as we've talked about. Cars need to be banned. All cars.
Yeah, all cars.
Yeah.
Gun.
But, I mean, that's what happens here, right? We've got these emotional knee-jerk reactions to these things, which, again, tragic, awful, shouldn't happen, but they do. And then you get these bills that are based on emotion, and we end up getting terrible ideas like this, like the stuff that's being voted on right now. The Patriot Act being a great example. And the common response, the common thought kind of was, this will never be used against us. Again, I supported it back in the day. I utilized it to my advantage for my old work, which is what it was intended for. No one thought that would ever be used against law-abiding citizens of the United States. And yet that's proving to not be true now. But here's enemy number one this week. Texas Senator John Cornyn, who was talking about the agreement. Take a listen.
We know this is an issue that divides much of the country, depending on where you live, and maybe even divides people living in the same household. But I think we have found some areas where there's space for compromise.
All right, so if there's anyone who's to blame here, it's John Cornyn's father. That son of a bitch put us in this situation. There's no compromise, and you know why. There's no compromise, though, guys. We cannot compromise with these guys. You give them an inch, they will take a mile. Just the red flag aspect of this law, legislation, on its own, is terrifying. Think of who is going to be calling you out as crazy. And again, remember, they're not going to have to justify it a whole lot. You're going to have to justify where you're not, and you're going to lose, probably 9 times out of 10. But this Joker Cornyn is your typical gutless Republican eunuch with man boobs. He's just worthless. And the commies, they want to disarm their enemies. Of course, that's always been in their playbook. It's very much in their playbook now here in America. And guess who their enemies are? Me, you, your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, your family members. It's law-abiding citizens. And both the commies and the rhinos, their establishment friends on our side of the aisle, hate us so much that they're going to do everything in their power to demoralize us, to disarm us, to destroy us. I know that sounds extreme, but guys, it's not. It's not. This vote is just another example of the open disdain that rhinos, the Cornyns, the Romneys, all the other people have for their own voters, their own constituents, the people they're supposed to work for and serve. They forget that. They get power hungry and forget that they are servants of the people. You are a voice for us there. Yet you're not, and you won't even listen. So how could you be? And we expect the other side. It's obvious that the other side hates us. They hate this country. But now the masks are really coming off. We've seen it more in these last couple of years since Trump came into office, since Trump left office. People on both sides, our side is their masks are coming off as well. It's become clear as day. And these people who are voting this through are the same losers that decided to send billions of money to Ukraine, arm the citizens of Ukraine. But American citizens, as far as they're concerned, as far as these politicians, again, both sides of the aisle, they're basically saying you can go F off. We don't care. You don't get to tell us what to do. We're here in the swamp. We get to make the decisions, and we will tell you what you can have, what you can't have. Your rights come from us, from politicians, not God. They like to play God. These are literally the individuals that we're seeing and experiencing in Washington right now are the very types of individuals that our founding fathers warned us about. That's what you're experiencing right now. This is a very unique time in history. And I don't say that in a good way. But these are the people they warned about. And from the Republican side, here are the 14 who voted yes last night. You had Roy Blunt, Richard Burr, Shelley Moore Capito, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, no surprise there. John Cornyn, of course, no surprise from him. He just talked. Joni Ernst, Lindsey Graham. Whatever. Mitch McConnell, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Pierre Delecto, a.k.a. Mitt Romney, Tom Tillis, and Todd Young. So a lot of names that you didn't think would be on our side. You didn't think that Mitch and Lindsey and Romney and all these, and Murkowski and Collins, they're not on our side. So it's not surprising, but it's damn sure disappointing. Yes, the burden of proof will be upon the American citizens. I can't say the name Jangolo. I don't know. But I do think they hate the country. Jangolo says they do not hate the country, they hate us. I think they hate both. You know why? Because you cannot say, and I know where you're going with it, but you cannot say as an individual, on particularly talking about them, people on the left, I love this country, but, or I love this country, look at this new policy, a policy that would radically change this country. Angelo, okay. Would radically change this country. And that's what they say. So they love the idea of a new country. They love the idea of using this land, using this infrastructure, using the people who are here. But they hate us and they hate what America, as we know it to be, stands for. They want a new America, which none of us, of course, want, nor should we. Okay, let's get to this Uvalde chief thing. So we talked about this. Called this. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, when I jumped on Gab this afternoon, or I guess this morning for me because it was before noon, but to get the stream set up and stuff so people know where to go, I saw MTG post this, and this was from last night. Apparently, she went to the gun range and went shooting.
Went shooting. That's how she rolls.
Not be infringed.
Shall not be. Get a tattooed on yourself, folks. No, I mean, you don't have to. It's just an option. Something to think about. Okay, so to this Uvalde thing. We called this a long time ago. And from the very beginning, and I'm talking about the chief there, or one of the chiefs there. But from the beginning of the shooting there at Robb Elementary, it seemed like we were not being given the complete story. And when I say it seemed like it, we just all knew that we weren't. It all started with a timeline that never made sense and ended with an unidentified trooper or law enforcement officer going in heroic fashion, taking out the gunman, which, I mean, honestly, I hope it's true, but who knows if that's even true. With these stories, they get so convoluted that it's really difficult to know what's true and what's not. And once law enforcement starts giving out misinformation for whatever reason, the whole investigation is just, you know, it's tainted then, right? Public trust is lost. But Stephen McCraw, who you saw give that first big presser, like the one that everyone was there for, we showed clips of it. He's the commander of the Texas Department of Public Safety. He went off last night on the pathetic response of the officers on the scene. And I always try and give law enforcement the benefit of the doubt, first responders, people in the military. And I try not to be someone who jumps to conclusions about how people respond in these life and death situations. I've been there. I understand what it's like. Making decisions in high stress situations like that is difficult. It's not for everyone. But the more we learn from this response, the more sickening it becomes. Here's part of his testimony. Take a listen.
There's compelling evidence that the law enforcement response to the attack at Robb Elementary was an abject failure and antithetical to everything we've learned over the last two decades since the Columbine massacre. 3 minutes after the subject entered the West Building, there was a sufficient number of armed officers wearing body armor to isolate, distract, and neutralize the subject. The only thing stopping a hallway of dedicated officers from entering room 111 and 112 was the on-scene commander, who decided to place the lives of officers before the lives of children. The officers had weapons, the children had none. The officers had body armor, the children had none. The officers had training, the subject had none. One error, 14 minutes and 8 seconds. That's how long the children waited and the teachers waited in rooms 111 to be rescued. And while they waited, the on-scene commander waited for a radio and rifles. Then he waited for shields. Then he waited for SWAT. Lastly, he waited for a key that was never needed. The post-Columbine doctrine is clear and compelling and unambiguous. Stop the killing, stop the dying. You can't do the former unless you do, you can't do the latter unless you do the former. Certainly, some things were done well, and even very well. The teachers quickly implemented active shooter protocols prior to the subject gaining entry. In fact, one teacher was able to call 911 and report that before the subject entered the campus. Law enforcement officers were able to evacuate hundreds of children in a safe and orderly manner. The district attorney, Christina Mitchell, and her staff led tireless efforts to take care of the victims and their families in the aftermath. And Senator Gutierrez talked a little about victim identification and victim notification. That is always a priority after such a tragedy. Very difficult to do, and she did an outstanding job in trying to handle that situation, blending all the different resources from local, state, and federal agencies at the time.
All right, so there was that. And you're right. Call him, Graham. At least he has the courage enough to tell the truth. This guy walked in. I don't know him from Adam. But he wasn't on the scene early on. He had to walk into that press conference at the end, try and answer questions, learning information on the fly. And again, I'm not defending him. I don't know the dude. But I love that he right off the bat calls it an abject failure, which it was. There's no two ways about it. We've talked about it. We're not going to break it all down again. And there's a lot of, a lot of things I don't understand about the response. And it's, like I said before the clip, it's hard to second guess the reactions of officers out there. We can't always do that. But at some point, when you've got a fat-ass commie politician who's calling the shots, like you do in Uvalde, serving as the incident commander, and he's giving orders that are anything outside of get your ass in there and kill that dude. As a adult, particularly as a male, serving in that type of role, you have to say to yourself, you have to think to yourself, okay, they're saying wait. I'm saying go. And I'll accept the consequences. Because I'm going to do this because the right thing is to go and save these children, the ones that I can. But you have less and less of that. Because unfortunately, for the last damn near decade, the Democrat Party and their proxies in the media have beat up law enforcement so badly that there's very few individuals left on the job who want to engage criminals, confront criminals. Why? Because they're always vilified. They're the ones who go down for it. You did everything by the book, but listen, we're going to fire you, take your pension away. We might put you in jail. The city's going to give money to whoever the criminal was. But is this a byproduct of the Ferguson effect? It certainly seems that way. I don't think you'd be wrong if you suggested that. Or it's just the Uvalde School District Police Chief Peter Arondo is just like every other Democrat who hates law enforcement. And I know you hear that and you're thinking, well, Drew, why is he serving? How did he become chief? Why would a cop-hating communist want to be a police chief? The answer is simple, you guys. There's plenty of willing pawns in government, law enforcement, the military, who are willing to do whatever their masters on the left tell them to do. And they want to change the system from within. The same reason that George Soros is paying millions of dollars to get America-hating communists in district attorney positions and other major positions within major metropolitan areas across the country. You put people in charge that share your ideology. It's not a bad play by them. The results are bad, but it's not a bad play by them at all. And if that means sacrificing the lives of children to push a gun ban, to disarm the American people, so be it. And I'm not saying that Pete sought after a large body count by telling the officers to wait. But with his background, who he is, with how this thing went down, I mean, hell, anything's possible, right? Because this dude, he's lawyered up, is a big-time Beto O'Rourke supporter, serving in this position, botched it up beyond, I mean, you literally, it's like the Afghan withdrawal. You couldn't have done this any worse. So nothing's off the table when it comes to his motives. And then, sticking with Uvalde, this, we talked yesterday about destroying buildings, right? Unrelated to Uvalde. So the mayor of Uvalde has said that they're going to destroy Robb Elementary School. Tear it down all the way. And their justification and why is because obviously painful memories for the kids. Kind of just acting like it was a bad dream. But the destruction of the school means that Salvador Ramos has won. Not only did he murder 21 people, 19 kids, 2 teachers, but he also murdered the school. Tearing it down reminds me of the Confederate statue removals. It's an emotional reaction. Again, that's how they play the game over there. Emotions push something through fast, even if it doesn't make sense, which again, this doesn't either, and prove that you're doing something that has triggered someone. That's how these guys play. It's just an empty gesture. It means nothing. But it does empower the grievance class in America. It festers this problem that we've been dealing with. And as a society, we've accepted this weaponization of fragility. Anything that someone feels triggered by is automatically canceled. Well, we can't have that anymore. And in this case, it's a building. A taxpayer-funded building. And not only does the weaponization of fragility create weakness, it's also a backdoor into forced compliance by using emotions and feelings to change societal norms. That's what's happening here. It's like turning Pearl Harbor into a Margaritaville resort because the memories are too painful of the Japanese attack. But again, how do we learn from our past if we constantly erase it? We can't. It literally doesn't make sense. And my question is, okay, look, if you think that this is going to, and it is about the kids, but if you think this is going to be a problem for kids moving forward, I'm sure it is. Again, I get trauma. I get PTSD on a level that most don't. But if you think, okay, we've got to start over. We've got funding because Uncle Sam or the state of Texas, you know, chipped in and we got funding for a new school. Okay, well, for one, when's it going to be ready? Because it doesn't just build itself overnight. And then two, so you got to have a contingency, but where are you going in between? But then two, even if you had that, why wouldn't you use it for something good? Turn it into a shelter. Turn it into, I don't know, something that helps the community. Help some of the trouble.
Or,
what's your thought? What's your or?
Use it as like a standard. All right, hey, we're gonna shore this school up. We're gonna make it the safest school around. Turn it into like the staple for that. We got the money for it. Don't tear it down. Make it safer. Make it better.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, like destroying it, like you said, gives them the win, but does nothing. All right, now we're gonna build another school that's still a soft target.
Yeah.
Not gonna change anything.
Yeah, but it's got nicer tile.
Let's fix what we have. Yeah. You're right. You got me there. Dang it. But no, but like, let's fix the problem at hand right now. Not demolish it and try to forget about it.
Right. No, we can't. You cannot.
Yes, it's sad. And the memories are going to be hard. They're still going to be there whether that building's there or not.
Exactly. You're not going to drive by with little Isabel and be like, see, honey, the building's gone. It never happened. No, it did. It did. Yeah. And you cannot erase that. But the left seems to think you can. They conveniently always erase the parts of history that they made this country worse. They made this country racist. They made the KKK. They always forget those parts too. All right. Totally different story. lots of hubbub, and we're not going to go deep into this. And I know some of you guys have really strong opinions. That's great. But this is my show. Just going to kind of talk about it for a second. So lots of hubbub and discussion about the 2024 nominee. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Trump? Is he going to announce he's running? Is he going to not run and just play kingmaker? Is he going to run and DeSantis is also going to run? Or is DeSantis not going to run because Trump's running and then he'll run in 2028? Look, at the end of the day, none of us really know, right? But there's lots of discussion. There's certain polls that have Trump ahead. There's certain polls, you know, a new Colorado one that had DeSantis beating Trump in a straw poll. Again, no one really knows. But there's a lot of people lining up, a lot of billionaires, of which I am not, by the way. Not even remotely close. I really wish I was. I just hate talking about it.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yet. That's yet. Right. But that you've got Republican billionaires who are lining up to back DeSantis. This guy has got $124 million for his gubernatorial race here in Florida, which is voting happens this year, 2022. That's a big war chest. It's twice as much as what he had in 2018 to win. So he continues to crush it. All that to say, he's killing it. And I see absolutely, you can't say never, but almost no chance that he loses here. But there's some that say they get along well, him and Trump. Obviously, look, regardless of where you stand, whether you want Trump in 2024 or you want DeSantis in 2024, Trump did help DeSantis beat Gillum in 2018. His endorsement back then helped push him over the edge. Was he going to win? Possibly, possibly not. Certainly that helped kind of propel him forward. How Gillum got that close being a homosexual drug addict, I have no idea, but he did. But some say that their relationship has soured a little bit. Some say they get along great. Insiders say on the side that's saying they're not getting along as well, it's because DeSantis won't kiss the ring, which I could see. I don't think DeSantis is going to kiss anyone's ring. That's the reason that people love him, is he kind of plays the game like Trump does. And someone said this. I'm going to read this from an article. He sounds like, I'm just reading what they're saying. He sounds like Trump, except that he speaks in complete sentences and he's very, very articulate and very, very quick, but he's competing for the same constituents. So he's very angry at the elite, even though he went to Harvard or Yale. He's very angry at Washington. So he's kind of rallying the troops. Anyways, they go. The main point is they're very similar in a lot of ways. Their background, no. You know, DeSantis grew up here in Florida, served in the Navy, served his country, went to some elite schools and did this, that, and there. Trump had a different background than that. But their views and their values, their thought of the country, the Constitution, putting America first, all of that, are pretty much on point. But this person here makes an interesting point. Ron does articulate things better. Again, I love Trump. He was one of the best presidents ever, 100%. He got robbed last year, 2 years ago. But I think DeSantis is more polished. And a lot of people are saying, well, Colin Graham, I'm saying here, 4 more years with Trump, DeSantis is VP, followed by 8 years of DeSantis. Here's the one problem with that. It doesn't make sense to have two Florida people on the ticket. People like both of them. But I think that you would need a different ticket than that. Those names are hot. Absolutely. My gut tells me, as much as I like the guy, that it's time for the Don to play Kingmaker. As much as I want to keep Ron here for his full 4-year term instead of 2 years, find the right replacement here, because again, he can only be here 4 more years anyways. Let's get 8 years out of him in DC. Because the odds of us really, I mean, realistically speaking, it has happened before, yes, but the odds of us getting 4 years of Trump and then 8 years of DeSantis in this hyper-polarized world against a Democrat opponent and party that will do anything and everything to win, including changing the rules, including cheating, all of that. It's not likely, but I also don't disagree with the thought. Like, It would be great. If we could get 4 years of him, he could get past the big machine, the media, everyone who's against him in D.C., talking of Trump, that is. That would be amazing. Take 4 years of him, and then we'll take Big D after him. But I think my thought is what Ginger's saying here now, too. There's too much venom for Trump still. I just think it's going to be tough for him to win. I really do. And not because he's not better, not because people don't like him more than Joe. Just because this is how the game is not fair.
But did you see over the weekend who the Democrat Party came out saying that it's not that it's going to be the ticket, but they're saying that if they were to put Kamala as president, Buttigieg's VP, that it would beat out any GOP there is.
I didn't see that. That made me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, no, I saw it and I just kind of went, ha! Yeah. It's okay. And then I was just like, but that's, you know, that there was someone that, you know, that kind of came out and said, I don't know if that's the ticket they're going to be pushing or what.
Look, identity politics.
Hey, yeah, Rob, that meets the bill for them right there.
100%. I mean, they've got it all. They've got it all. But I think it can also only take you so far. I mean, she is – there's a lot of folks in the Democrat Party who think that she's an absolute fool. They hate her. They don't think she's personable either. So, like, I'd be shocked if they went that. I wouldn't be shocked to see Buttigieg on a ticket, but I'd be shocked to see her leading the ticket. Rob Zilla is right. They have no one, like no one at all. Their bench is empty. They've got a couple identity politics candidates, and that's it. There's a comment I was going to get to here.
Do you think Tulsi would ever want to run?
I think she will run again. I think she'll be involved again, I should say. Yeah. I can't see this comment that I was looking for earlier. But Electric Boots, DeSantis with Trump Speaker of the House, ? Tulsi VP. Trump's never going to be Speaker of the House. It would be a great thing. But it's never going to happen because, like I've said before, someone with an ego that big, you're not taking a step down from being the commander in chief. You're not going to say yes, sir, to anybody else. It's just not going to happen with people like that.
if you get asked to be Speaker of the House, can you wear like the white wig? You know, like the
me?
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'll definitely ever... do it. Yeah. If that ever becomes a thing, 100%. That or I'm just gonna go straight redneck, like cut off sleeves on a flannel, mullet, mustache. Like I don't even dip, but I'll dip for the sake of it.
You'll dip for the sake only when you're sitting in the in that seat.
It'll be amazing. Okay, they have been pushing Newsom for heaven's sake. That's pretty bad on their side. Okay, so talking about BAP, let's just transition here. We'll see what happens with that. We're going to be talking a lot between now and 2024 on what's going on with Trump, DeSantis, our side, their side, everything else. Can someone, though, explain to me what the hell this is?
At 12 years old, I stood 6 feet tall and weighed 150 pounds. By 29, I weighed a whopping 695. Living in a body like this one turns every room into a three-ring circus, and every onlooker has a front row seat to the traveling freak show.
Since the sixth grade, I always thought one day when I become a woman, life will be better. Seventh grade, 108 pounds. Senior year, 112. College graduation, 108 pounds. I'm held hostage in a body that will not grow by a slithering monster made of trauma past.
Do you know what it is to want to crawl out of your skin, to shrink for once instead of swell, to slide out of all the excess you found yourself drowning in?
To shed these scales and find more than just bones? To discover a woman my age living inside instead of a scared, withered girl?
My depression does not hide in my heart or live in my head. It rests in my belly, a pulsing black hole, a toothy maw swallowing up my hopes and dreams and whole refrigerators in a desperate attempt to fill all this empty space. My doctor tells me I have a binge eating disorder, but our culture just calls me glutton and tells me to try a little harder.
I'm not anorexic. Stop calling me that. My body consumes every drop I ingest to fuel this constant stage of fight or flight. I'm eating for two. My PTSD burns calories in my sleep while my mind runs marathons trying to escape the venomous bite of a hungry serpent.
You see this body and you think you know what's wrong with me. You don't see the monster dwelling deep beneath my skin. So please, tell me what to do with all this hunger. Tell me again how to beat the beast back with another fad diet and a little self-discipline.
You tell me to drink more water? Will that help me retain baby fat from a childhood that's just a list of scary stories to tell in the dark? Do you still think a cheeseburger will fill the void that cortisol and adrenaline drain daily?
It's not like I'm not trying to get better. Last year, I lost 300 pounds, walked 10 miles a day for 365 days, and still I could not find a way to leave behind all this heaviness holding me down. I chased the sun across the sky every morning, and still I could not swallow enough light to kill all this darkness.
My therapist reminds me everything happened a long time ago, but I'm still afraid of the dark. At night, I end the serpent eating its own tail. How many calories will make up for the pounds I lost in my sleep? You tell me to refill my hourglass, but pay no mind to the reason I'm running out of time.
I don't know what that was. As someone said, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here. That's. Let's go on to the next story.
Was that just like was that them practicing for the next poetry slam?
I mean, wow, the fact that it was choreographed, oh my gosh! And it sounded when they spoke together like we've referenced Ghostbusters a couple times this week. It sounded like Gozar, like it was demonic.
The destructor has been chosen. I didn't think of anybody. Did you think of anybody?
Okay, I just had to show it because I saw Miles Chong shared it, and I looked at it, and to my detriment, it now is your problem too because I had to show it because my response was just like it was there and was for you too, Disco. Like, I'm speechless. I don't know.
I'm just trying to make my head feel better. I'm gonna think that they're rehearsing some poetry. Maybe they're gonna be in leotards when they actually perform this. This is like a performance, not
right.
Anything else?
I don't want to see the one in leotards.
I'm just saying. Like, there's just that's just what's gonna help me sleep tonight, believing that that this is some kind of assignment that they needed to get done.
All right. Chasm, any significance to the different colors of your wedding bands? No, it's like my flair. I don't know. I like my white one probably the best, but it's gotten dirty, so I need to get a new one.
It's got accessories.
Yeah, tried to bleach it, no dice. No, but I've got some different ones. So but there's no significance to it. It's just they're silicone, so I don't get it caught on something. Lose my more important actual one in the ocean or something like that.
Again, I really feel like we should have played this bumper before we watched it.
Sometimes the world gives us run-of-the-mill stories, and you're like, yeah, I heard that. We got politics, the international news, stories about your grandma's peach cobbler, but then sometimes stories are a little bit out there, like this one. This shit's crazy.
Yeah, we should.
Sorry, I just had to.
We should have played it. But here's the good news.
We won't play that clip again.
The next two stories are also crazy. Here's a police officer with a fully gayed out police cruiser. Just do it.
Hi, I'm Officer Lutz with the Columbus Division of Police. I'm your LGBTQIA+ liaison officer. And we're unveiling right now our Pride Cruiser for the month of June. I'm excited about this cruiser. It's great for representation.
Because What's more intimidating than Rainbow Bright pulling up there? Love is love. Report hate crimes. That's what's on the side
of
the car.
I'd like to report a hate crime. Yeah, that music reminded me of the guy who did the mace, you know, if for school. Who was that? The political ad, like the mace can in school and teachers.
Tilleman? Levi Tilleman?
Yeah. The music kind of reminded me of that.
Yes.
It wasn't the same, but it's pretty cool.
Well, I love that you've got a liaison, an LGBTQIA, whatever, 64, liaison officer. Yeah, so criminals may be actually more afraid of that one. That's true. I mean, just what do they do intend on doing with their batons? That's a lot. That's a lot.
I've never seen this. I'm not gonna see this. Is that their new flag now?
Well, it's for today. I'm sure it's changed even during this. The airing of this episode. I mean, we're live, but during this live episode.
So then, the Air Force, you know, ad that they put up needs to be up to date. That flag they had in the background with those
shame
six
on them. Yeah,
yeah.
You're
how dare they?
You're sharing the Broadway Cowboy flag from decades ago, Air Force. Come on, catch up. Okay, then this speaking. You thought. I'm speechless. You thought
just when you thought shit got crazy, it gets even crazier.
Just wait. Here's a council meeting, not as entertaining as Alex Stein, might I add, who, by the way, suing Mediaite and others who have said that he was violent and aggressive towards Dan Crenshaw. I showed that clip the other day, as he should, because he was totally Love slandered. It. He wasn't attacked there. They called him a member of the Proud Boys. He's not a member of the Proud Boys. All this stuff. So he rightfully shouldn't. I hope he wins. But this is not as entertaining as that, but it will make you want to throw up, not just in your mouth, but like physically onto the ground. Listen to this exchange right here.
Ida slapped her.
Step on up, Ida. Ida's a man.
Hi, my name is Ida Slapter, and I do not wish to state my address due to the situation going on because I don't want to be stalked and doxed. I want to start off by saying happy Pride Month. I hope all the homophobes are extra uncomfortable right now. And I want to say I'm a drag queen. I'm originally from San Francisco, California. And next year, I will be starting my teaching job where I will be teaching first graders. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to have drag shows. I'm going to have drag queen story time. Are you going to kill me too? Because guess what? You're not going to be able to do anything about it, Steadfast Baptist. Because guess what? You're going to get evicted again. You're going to get it. You preach hate. You know what the Bible says? Love thy neighbor. It says love thy neighbor. So guess what? I can have sex with all the men I want. And I can dance in front of kids and do drag queen story time and have all the fun I want, and you can't do anything about it. It says, love thy neighbor. Where does it, you know what? It does not say anything about homosexuality being a sin in the Bible, actually. And if you believe that, you're a sinner. You're just wrong. You're just wrong. It doesn't say that. Prove it to me. You know what? Because it doesn't say that in the Bible. And you know what? People need to understand that this lifestyle needs to be introduced to children. We are not groomers. We are not groomers. You know what? I have sex with all my fans after the drag shows. And you know what? I enjoy it. Because guess what? I can do what I want. I can have sex with guys. And guess what? Steadfast Baptist can't do anything about it. Lastly, well, not lastly, but I did just have the Postmates new bottom men, bottom-friendly menu. It was amazing. And oh my gosh, we need more of that. And I want to say this. The people who keep saying they don't want to give up their guns, they refuse to take the vaccine. Guess what? Guess what?
All right, your time is up. Your time is up.
All right, so I'm pretty sure it is Alex Stein. I just, you know. But... So if it's not Alex Stein,
it sounded just like Alex Stein.
I'm almost 100% certain that Ida Slapter is Alex Stein, and he once again made us laugh. But the first time I watched it, I was like, oh my God. And I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw part of it. I was like, I got to share this. But then you realize what it is.
Yeah, well, at first I thought it was serious, and then there was a few phrases that he said. I'm like, that sounds like Alex Stein.
And then he does the,
like the move. I was like, all right, this is. I'm glad he came up there, and I just slapped her.
I love too the guy. I just slapped her. Please state your name and address. I just slapped her. All right, fire any questions you guys have. Let us know. Let me know what you want to talk about. Yes, Robzilla, that was Alex Stein. Did he take a shot at Baptist? Yes, he did.
I think he's doing it just to make a point for the people on the other side of the city council members are going, wait a second.
Right.
We need to do something about this. Yes, he was slighting towards the Southern Baptists, but I think it was more to make a point so that they'd be like, oh, we can't allow this to happen.
Right.
You know, we can't.
He's a clever fella. Clever fella. We got some Hebrew comments today over on, I think that's Hebrew, on Facebook. I can't read what it is. I'm sorry. I spoke a lot of languages back in the day in my old job. I hardly speak English now, so I definitely can't read that comment. Who is Alex Stein, Judy says? Alex Stein is the dude who some people think is funny, some people don't appreciate, but we think is funny, who goes to city council meetings and raps and has done some of the singing. You've seen, Judy, I know you've seen some of his clips on our show because we've shared them a lot. Funny dude. And if for some reason that wasn't him and I'm wrong, then that person did a good job of mirroring what he does. I think. I don't know. SCOTUS has a new issuance of Opinion Day Friday. Your thoughts? I didn't see that today. F News are they putting it out? Are they putting out their opinions Friday? I know we talked about it yesterday. They're just delivering it via internet, just via online message this year. Are you saying that it's coming out Friday, or are they announcing when they're announcing it Friday? I didn't see anything on it today. Just being honest. You're welcome, Judy. You are welcome. Okay, that'll be interesting. If it's actually the Opinion Friday. Going into a weekend, people are that much more free to riot. I don't like it. I think we're in for a... I mean, we've talked about this for weeks here, guys. You know, since the draft Alito opinion came out. I think we're in for a rough summer. I just do. I don't like saying that. I've got some really fun plans still for the rest of the summer. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere else, but I've got some fun things I want to do. I live in Florida. I'm going to live up the free Florida air. Get out in the water, get to the beach, do all sorts of stuff. But as that's going on, I think there's going to be some rough times ahead. Obviously, there's rough times right now with everything we're dealing with inflation, with gas prices, all of that. But I think that there's going to be some crazy stuff coming ahead, because the left is incapable of losing. Despite never being winners in for real, like none of these kids won growing up. They didn't win in high school or college sports. They definitely didn't play college sports. They're not capable of losing, though. So I think it's going to get nasty. And there's some big ones out there. Again, we talked about the different ones yesterday. It's not just Roe versus Wade. You've got the Second Amendment case up in New York, which is big. So stay out of Dem cities. I think so too. If you're in a metropolitan area in particular, it doesn't mean that it's limited to that. But if you're in a metropolitan area in particular, we're talking Philadelphia, we're talking Minneapolis, New York, Chicago, D.C., Los Angeles, Portland, all those types of places, Seattle, even Dallas these days, sadly. Watch your six. Keep your head on a swivel because things are going to get nasty if this goes the way that it should go. Cincinnati as well. If it goes the way, literally, if you live in a metropolis, one of those big cities in the state, expect the worst, hope for the best. And let's all legitimately be hoping and praying for the best. But I'd be very pleasantly surprised if there was not a whole bunch of rioting and violence this summer. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that people can be rational for once, but obviously that's not likely. So get to a red state if you can. Be mindful and be cautious if you're in those types of areas. But everywhere else, again, if you're a law-abiding, responsible gun owner and you're allowed in your state or you have a permit in your state to carry, but also be careful there because, again, you are on almost everything. Do what's right in the situation, but in almost everything these days, you're guilty until proven innocent. So it's a scary world. Scary world. Begging at gas stations is now a problem. I haven't seen that, but I don't believe it. I mean, I don't not believe it. Excuse me. I'm sure it's happening. Okay, guys, we have one more full show tomorrow. We have Booze and Banter Friday. Get over to drewberquist.locals.com if you haven't already. Get yourself an account there. You don't have to be an annual member. You can be a monthly member. It's super cheap, super easy, and you've got access to Booze and Banter, which is going to be increasing. So you're going to have more opportunities to get on there and engage in a more personal, even more casual way. Our show is pretty damn casual as it is, but I get even more casual over there. Not like sexual, okay? Shirts stay on, but more casual. We appreciate you guys spending time with us today. Please hit that button on the way out, that like sign, the plus sign if you're on Rumble, Boxing Glove if you're on the Rumble app. Share away, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Be safe, be smart, be free.
You've just heard Drew Berquist. Tune in weekdays on every major podcast provider or on drewberquist.com.